Tesla went out of his way to avoid the numerous metallic ranch fencing beneath his aerial course. It was said that Tesla often delighted in soaring through the night air for hours each night. Ralph Ring, Otis Carr, and Tesla's U-tron. In August 2006, Project Camelot interviewed Ralph Ring, a 71-year-old technician who worked with Otis T. Carr, inventor of the Otis elevator system, in the late 1950s and early 1960s. Carr had studied under Nikola Tesla and was allegedly given the secret to his gravity shielding technology. Carr finished developing a working saucer-shaped craft in 1947 and built a number of them, but initially it did not generate any official interest. In 2006, Ralph Ring finally came forward with an impressive barrage of technical documents, including detailed blueprints from Carr's OTC Enterprises company. Major Wayne Aho, a former Army Combat Intelligence Officer during World War II, announced that he would take the craft to the moon on December 7, 1959, that the trip would take 5 hours, and that he would remain in orbit for 7 days before returning. The 45-foot diameter craft he was to use weighed 30 tons and was powered by the U-tron engine. The U-tron engine was obviously Tesla's invention, and there was a key emphasis placed on the fact that it was round from the top-down view and a perfect square from the side view. This caused it to be shaped like a top, or two cones connected base to base. Ring did not gain any financial benefits from coming forward, and he had clear and extensive documentation, including photographs of Carr with the device, and detailed technical blueprints he obviously would not have spent money faking. When you read what Ring actually says, the case becomes very compelling. First of all, we see solid metal becoming flexible, in this case, like jello. When recalling the heady events of the late 1950s working day and night with Carr, Ring again and again stressed that the key was working with nature. Resonance, he would emphasize repeatedly. You have to work with nature, not against her. He described how, when the model discs were powered up and reached a particular rotational speed, the metal turned to jello. You could push your finger right into it. It ceased to be solid. It turned into another form of matter, which was as if it was not entirely here in this reality. It was uncanny, one of the weirdest sensations I've ever felt. The craft also traveled through time while also traveling through space. Did the craft fly? Fly is not the right word. It traversed distance. It seemed to take no time. I was with two other engineers when we piloted the 45-foot craft about 10 miles. I thought it hadn't moved. I thought it had failed. I was completely astonished when we realized that we had returned with samples of rocks and plants from our destination. It was a dramatic success. It was more like a kind of teleportation. What's more, time was distorted somehow. We felt we were in the craft about 15 or 20 minutes. We were told afterwards that we'd been carefully timed as having been in the craft no longer than 3 or 4 minutes. Perhaps even more interesting is the direct, conscious interaction that took place with the source field in this process. The U-tron was the key to it all. Carr said it accumulated energy because of its shape and focused it, and also responded to our conscious intentions. When we operated the machine, we didn't work any controls. We went into a kind of meditative state, and all three of us focused our intentions on the effect we wanted to achieve. It sounds ridiculous, I know, but that's what we did, and that's what worked. Carr had tapped into some principle which is not understood, in which consciousness melds with engineering to create an effect. You can't write that into equations. I have no idea how he knew it would work, but it did. Carr told everyone to stuff their pockets with rocks, clumps of dirt, and grass from their destination. Otherwise, when they returned, they wouldn't have any conscious memory of going anywhere and would think the whole thing was a failure, not unlike Baxter's roommate waking up from hypnosis and thinking nothing had happened. Sure enough, when Ring came back from the trip, he remembered nothing, but his pockets were stuffed with grass. He was absolutely stunned and only later remembered the trip as if waking up from a dream. When he asked Carr how it worked, this is what he said. Your brain is there to operate your body. You're in a vessel here. It's an illusionary vessel that people don't realize because we're creating it in microseconds. From 1 second to the other, these shutters are opening and shutting, creating all this reality you see around you. But it doesn't really exist. It's all spirit. It's all energy. But we're creating it. People don't realize that man, in a sense, created time. Time doesn't exist, in essence. It does when we create it. And we have a beginning and an end to something. We call that time. But in a greater reality, there is no time.